I wanted to I just want to look at something with you. We picked up on something the other day, and if I do it early in the meeting, then you will have opportunity for the Lord to maybe do other things for us yet. But let's get back to Matthew chapter 16. It was referred to again today. And we were talking about the fact that you can only know God by revelation. Right? God has to reveal himself to you. We, our natural mind, cannot comprehend the things of God. Grab 10 people on the street and ask them who God is, and you'll get 10 different answers. Well, here it says, that's lesson 6, we can never truly know God but by divine revelation. Our natural mind is not able to comprehend or understand the fullness of who he is, whom to know is life eternal. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it's actually chapter 2, so if you have a chapter 3:14, change that to 2, okay? The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned or understood. Here, the Bible makes it very clear that with our natural mind, our natural understanding, we can't know the things of God. The preaching of the cross, the Apostle Paul said, is foolishness to those that don't believe. A man died on the cross and you're worshiping him and somehow through that you get saved. And it doesn't make sense to them at all. And maybe it didn't make sense to us. Maybe years we spent in vanity and pride and we didn't care that our Lord was crucified. Didn't make any sense to us, didn't mean anything to us. I didn't know that it was for me he died. But then by God's word, at last my sin I learned. As I got into the word of God, then God began to speak to me and reveal to me things that I couldn't understand apart from his revelation. In Matthew 11:25, it says, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you hid these things from the wise and prudent, and you revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. Matthew 11:25-26. Jesus took great joy as he began to come in contact with people that were beginning to come into a real understanding of who he was. And it wasn't the highly educated and the people that were greatly high esteemed in society, but it was often the simple people. The people that maybe weren't greatly educated and weren't tremendously gifted and weren't highly valued by society. But their hearts were open to God, and God showed them things that the wise and the prudent were blind to. You know, this gospel, it's amazing that a child can understand something of the love of Jesus, of what it means that he died on the cross for them. And the Holy Spirit can reveal that to a little child. And yet, the most intelligent adult can't grasp these things unless the Holy Spirit reveal them to them as well. We talked about the fact that this revelation that God brings into our life, it doesn't come all at once. We don't understand everything about God all at once. As a matter of fact, we're a strange mixture. There are some areas of our life where we've been enlightened. God has revealed himself to us and revealed things about him in these different areas of our life. And then there are other areas of our life where we're still, you know, bound by our natural way of thinking. And we saw that with Peter here, because when Jesus asked the disciples in this chapter, who do men say that I am? They told the conclusions that people came to by observing him, and they were all wrong, every one of them. Then he said, who do you say that I am? And Peter gave the right answer, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you. You didn't figure this out on your own. This was revealed to you by my Father in heaven. And then, as you go on, later on in the chapter, it says, Jesus then, now that they understood who he was, and they received this revelation, he tells them that, verse 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must suffer and go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again on the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Imagine that. Peter's telling Jesus off and straightening him out. Now you listen to me, Jesus. Don't talk like that. Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. And I thought he just said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I thought he just revealed that God had given him this tremendous light and revelation. And now he's trying to keep Jesus from going to the cross. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men. In one moment, Jesus is praising Peter. And the next verse, he's calling him Satan. And didn't mean that Peter was Satan, but that this what Peter was expressing, this trying to keep Jesus from going to the cross, was in opposition to God's plan and purpose for Christ. And he was trying to get in the way of what God's will was. And that shows that, you know, God can reveal certain things to us, but there's still room for more revelation and clearer understanding of the things of God. And so we have to never feel like we've arrived, and always thank God for what he has made real to us, and then ask him to continue. If there's any thinking in me, if there's any natural understanding that is not in line with who you are and what you want, Lord, I pray for renewing. I pray for revelation along those lines. It's interesting that as you continue to follow the Lord and read his word, new things come alive to you. New lights come into your soul. No matter how many years you've been following God and how often you've read the Bible, God continues to give you deeper understanding, clearer understanding, deeper appreciation. You know, it's not just understanding something that you didn't understand before, but there's an appreciation that comes with it, right? That not only do I understand this, but I really appreciate it. It's become real to me. It has an impact upon my life and the way I live. And so thank God that light is growing brighter and brighter in us all the time as we get closer to Jesus and keep our hearts open to him. Now, this thought about Jesus being the Son of God, you know, This lesson was entitled Beyond the Gimmies, that God wants to reveal himself beyond the gimmies to us. Gimme means that we just follow Jesus for what we can get out of him, right? Give me fish, give me bread. They wanted to make him king because they thought, boy, if he can supply fish and bread like that, what else can he do for us? And they sought Jesus, and behind it was, what can he do for us? How can we benefit by this relationship with him? And they never saw past the miracle to the wonder of who Jesus was. And when Jesus stopped giving, they stopped following. But it wasn't so with the apostles. Peter said, to whom else, Lord, can we go? You have the words of eternal life. Lord, we're not just here to what we can get out of you. We're not just following you for the fish and the bread, for the miracles. We've awakened somehow to who you are. We've never met anyone like you. You meet a need in our life that nothing else in this world can meet. Your words are life to us. There's nowhere else to go. You know, every one of those apostles suffered the death of a martyr, except the apostle John. But tradition says that he was thrown into a boiling pot of oil and escaped miraculously. And so they really had to pay a great price. And that revelation of who Jesus was enabled them to be faithful to the end. We read in John chapter 11 that Martha, the sister of Lazarus, she also received that revelation. And I know Mary did too, and I imagine Lazarus as well. And she said, "I know that thou art the Christ, the Son of God." I remember when Brother Edwin was preaching on this, Pastor Edwin Waldfogel, Sr. He was talking about that Jesus wanted to perform a miracle that was greater, perhaps, than any other miracle that he had performed up till then. He had raised people from the dead, same day that they died. But here, he was going to let a person lie in the grave for 4 days. And then he was going to show forth his glory by calling Lazarus out of the grave. I was watching a documentary on Mount Everest. And what are the names of the people that help people to climb the mountain? Sherpas, that's right. These are people that live on the mountain there, and they get paid to help people climb the mountain. They carry all their gear up with them. They say that most of the people would never get to the top of Mount Everest if it wasn't for the Sherpas. Yes, that's it. They risk their lives in doing so. They say most of them don't want to do it, but it's the only way they can make money, and they have to support their families. So they risk their lives trying to help these people up the mountain. And many people die. It's amazing how many people have died trying to climb Mount Everest, and their bodies are still up, scattered up in the mountains, because it's too dangerous to try to carry the bodies down. And so they leave them there. And they said that the Sherpas believe that your spirit, your consciousness, does not leave your body. It takes 3 days for that to happen. And there was a belief among the people in Jesus' day as well that somehow the spirit hovered over the body for 3 days after you died. And so Jesus waited 4 days. There was a reason for that. And when Jesus got there on the fourth day, then he called Lazarus back. And of course, miraculously, Lazarus came back to life and came out of the tomb. And Jesus said to loose him and let him go. And it says that, you know, that miracle was so tremendous that many of the Jews believed on Jesus because of Lazarus. And those who were Jesus' enemies not only wanted to kill Jesus, but they wanted to put Lazarus to death also because of the effect that his testimony was having upon so many others. And Brother Edwin, on preaching on this, said, now who could Jesus have trusted to have faith and to still believe in him after going through a trial like that? There would be some people that were waiting for Jesus to come and heal Lazarus, and he didn't come. Lazarus is getting more sick. They're looking around the corner. Jesus isn't showing up yet. Lazarus is getting weaker. Eventually Lazarus dies and Jesus is nowhere to be found. Some people would have given up. Some people would have become bitter. Some people would have accused Jesus of not caring. And I guess he's not who we thought he was. We thought he was the Messiah, but evidently not. But Jesus needed someone that he knew would trust him in the midst of that trial. He needed their faith to perform the miracle that God wanted to perform at that time. And so even though Martha and Mary didn't understand why Jesus didn't show up and they were hurt and they were disappointed, they still said, "Lord, but I still know that you're the Christ. I still believe that you're the Son of God. And whatever you say, God will do for you." And when Jesus found that faith, he said, "If you believe me, you'll see the glory of God." And then Jesus was able to show forth his glory in this way that was so tremendous that it had a tremendous impact upon all those that heard. Jesus' heart was longing for those who awakened to the wonder of who he was and didn't just seek him for what they could get out of him. Those are the ones he can trust to be faithful no matter what. Those are the ones that God is looking for. Not the ones that just follow him because they can get stuff out of him. And when he stops giving, they stop following. But those that really have come to understand that we need Jesus. We can't live without him. You know, whether he meets all our expectations or not, we're lost. He's our Savior. We've awakened to the wonder of who he is, and we can't live without him. And God will use those people to perform things in and through their lives that he couldn't do with others. Others that didn't know how to trust him like that, that didn't receive that revelation. There are things that God wants to do in our lives, but he needs us to trust him. He needs us to believe in who he is. When things don't go the way we want them to, and when we're disappointed and God did not come through for us, yet there's a revelation of that has come into our lives that doesn't let us go. I so appreciated Sister Eileen's testimony this morning. And I knew a little bit, knowing her over the years, of some of the deep trials that she went through. And I loved how she said, "God would not let me go." You know, it was that revelation of Jesus that had come into her life that she couldn't get away from. And we all need that. We all need that. There'll come trials in our lives, and if you don't really know God, you're not going to last. But it's that revelation of Jesus that keeps us, even when we struggle, that thing holds on to us. And Jesus was looking for people like that. He had hundreds of people that were just following him for the fish and bread, but only maybe a handful of people that really knew who he was. And those are the ones he could trust. Those are the ones he could depend upon. Those are the ones through whom he could manifest his glory. Praise God. And God's looking for people like that today too. I've seen many people over the years, professing Christians. They sat next to me in church, worshiped the Lord, sang the songs. Where are they now? Do you know anyone that started out as a Christian is now out in the world somewhere? I think we all might know people like that. You say, "What happened? How could that be? How could they now be out there enjoying sinful pleasures that once they condemned and knew was wrong and stayed away from at one time?" And you talk to them about the Lord, they don't want to hear about the Lord anymore. They heard all those things. Those things aren't real to them anymore. Well, it may be an indication that God was not able, or they somehow didn't come into a place where God really revealed himself to them beyond the gimmies. And you know, we're all in danger of that as well. That's why we really need to deal with God about this. And we need to say, God, I need you to reveal yourself to me. I need you. I need that light of Jesus to get so deep into my soul that it won't let me go. And I won't be able to get away from it, no matter what I go through. And that's exactly the prayer that God's waiting to hear. Lord, I don't want to follow you just because you do what I want you to do. But Lord, even when you don't do things the way I think they need to be done, even when you don't show up when I think you need to show up, even when you say no when I want you to say yes, Lord, reveal yourself to me so deeply that none of that makes a difference. I'm going to follow you because there's nowhere else to go. No one else has the words of eternal life but you. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So I wanted to finish up on that lesson because I think that truth is so important. And I think for our young people here at camp, I don't want to see any of you go into the world. We've heard this morning, God is giving us an opportunity, a wonderful opportunity here at camp to find Jesus, to be in an atmosphere that if we open our hearts, God will cause his light to shine into our hearts. I've seen young people that came to camp and, well, they got all taken up with distractions, and then there was bickering, and the staff didn't get along, and there were these personality problems, and they wasted so much of their time away. I know one young person who got into some sort of fight with some other guy in the kitchen, and they didn't get along, these things were the things that bothered him. He went back home from camp, and eventually he became a heroin addict. And it broke my heart, because God had brought him to camp to give him a chance to avoid that life, that path that he was on. But he missed his opportunity at camp. Now God has, in answer to prayer, has met him and helped him, but all of that could have been avoided. I know another young person who ended up in prison, in Rikers Island. He was at camp, but somehow God wasn't able to get through to him. And so that happens. Don't think just because you're at camp that automatically, you know, your life's going to go great. You've got an opportunity, but you've got to open up. You've got to respond. You've got to say, Lord, I don't know if next year I'll be able to come to camp. This might be my last year. Who knows? But Lord, while I'm here, and you're pouring out your Spirit, and you're giving us, teaching us your word, I let it get into my heart and let it accomplish what you want. Because you know my future. You know the things that I'm going to face, the challenges, the trials. And only knowing Jesus is going to get me through. And so, Jesus, reveal yourself to me. I told you that story about Brother Mike Corrigan and his piece of paper with the five words. I tell that story a lot because I love it. Because I know him. And I know that he's still praying that. And God's revealing himself to him more and more, as he's doing for all of us, I trust. And so, if I kept talking, I'd just keep repeating myself. So I'm going to stop. But oh, my God, how greatly we need your light. How greatly we need your revelation. Lay down all your ideas about God. Lay down all your opinions about what he did right, what he did wrong, how things were supposed to be. Don't let that get in your way. Just lay it down. Say, Lord, I don't understand anything the way I'm supposed to understand it. My mind is not capable. It's like a second grader trying to do calculus. It's impossible. But Lord, I just open my heart and my mind and my soul to you. Jesus, shine in. Show me who you really are. And let that revelation change my whole life. And keep me loving and serving you forever. God answers prayers like that. And doesn't matter who you are, you pray it sincerely and you continue to pursue Jesus, you'll never be sorry. Amen. Praise God. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.